Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes it's interesting to find in a particular passage from Scripture exactly where it falls in the gospel itself, in this ninth chapter of St. Luke. In this chapter, the 12 are sent out to heal and to preach. They return. Jesus takes them to Bethsaida. There, 5,000 gather to feed on 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus says to them, "Send them off to the surrounding villages." And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have. Following that, Jesus asks Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter replies, "The Messiah of God." In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus rebukes them and tells them not to tell anyone this. Then Jesus gives his first prediction of his passion. "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And then he gives them condition, the condition of discipleship. "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, if that's not enough to have happening already in one chapter, guess what comes next? Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, Mount Tabor, and he reveals his true self to them. Coming down, they enter a crowd, a man whose son is possessed, who begged Jesus' disciples to cast it out, but they could not. And then Jesus says, "O faithful and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and endure you?" He predicts his passion a second time. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men. And meanwhile, the disciples are arguing among themselves about who is the greatest in the kingdom. He takes a child and places it by his side. "Whoever receives a child such as this receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me." And then, it says, they depart for Jerusalem. It's a long chapter, isn't it? There's an awful lot going on right there. But it's interesting to see how this event of the transfiguration of Jesus takes place. It's a centerpiece of these words. Before it comes the miracle of God's abundant generosity, the loaves and the fish. Peter's profession of faith, Jesus' first prediction of his death, and the requirements of discipleship. And then it seems after this, it's just Jesus being frustrated. He predicts his passion a second time, and they're still not listening. And then the innocent child's simplicity and trust, Jesus says, is what makes human beings great. Jesus gives Peter, James, and John a special revelation on Mount Tabor. A revelation to be told later, apparently. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't tell them not to talk about this. Luke says, after Jesus was found alone, they fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. But it is true that they saw what they needed to see, even though they did not yet know what was to come, even though Jesus was trying to tell them before and after. They saw the real glory of Jesus, although hidden from view. There was something here completely other, not a mere human being, but more. Dazzling white. The all too human derision and suffering that would unfold when they get to Jerusalem, itself enough to cause despair, is not the whole story. They will be able somehow to remember this moment and survive beyond the blood and the agony. Also, they see Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus. Jesus is in dialogue with both the law and the prophets. That's what that signifies. But a few days before, in this same chapter, when Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" they responded, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Remember, Elijah and Moses are the two great figures in the Old Testament who nobody witnessed their death. So there was still kind of this superstition or thought that maybe they were still around somewhere. Elijah went off in the chariot, right? And then Moses just stayed behind on the other side of the Jordan River. His appearing with them sets those rumors to rest. Finally, as the voice of the Father speaks, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." So if you had any ideas about building tents for the three of them and making them all live happily ever after there on the mount, that's not the point. The Father's voice says, "This one is my Son. Listen to him." And that's when he's found alone. Whether you find yourself in a time of uncertainty or darkness now, or are journeying to destinations with unknown outcomes, like Jesus and the disciples going to Jerusalem, there is a bedrock you can be sure of with Jesus in your life. You have that dazzling brightness of grace that will take you through whatever it is, however painful it might be. It is now in this holy season that we renew our faith and hope in Jesus' presence by glorifying God in our compassion and works of mercy, being witnesses of God's love for us by loving one another.